Fred Warner finally gets his contract extension as the 49ers lock down another key piece to the puzzle. And another episode, another offseason episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast. We're going to look at the AFC South and give our top five cornerbacks here. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Parity 18 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. Last week, pretty much right after we got done recording the episode, a couple days after Brock Purdy got his contract extension, Fred Warner, we knew it was going to come up. We knew it was going to happen. It was only a matter of when. Fred Warner gets his three-year, $3 million contract extension with $56 million guaranteed. So looking at how that plays out down the line now for the Niners. So they'll have Fred Warner through 2029, where he'll be an unrestricted free agent. And he's set to make about $21 million per AAV with cap hit of $29 million. So like I said, 49ers got their guy. It's really just how they end up building a team now around the three, George Kittle, Fred Warner, and Brock Purdy, now that they've all gotten three big contracts. So it depends on how they're able to build a team around them at this point.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you listen to us talk about the Niners last time around, you already know where I stand on them. I think that no good can come with the way they're constructed. Now they have to completely tear it down. And look, there's something to be said for loyalty, right? I understand why they want to keep Fred Warner around, you know, get that fan engagement up, probably get some money off merch. But, like, what does this help you do? Because, I mean, even if everybody stays healthy, you're far from a lock to win your division. I mean, it's going to be very competitive. I mean, the Cardinals might swipe a game from you. You never know. The Seahawks are looking to stay steady, and the Rams are keeping Matthew Stafford in LA for a bit. So as a whole, what do you really get out of this outside of, hey, we got it back. And hey, look, maybe once they're out of cap space, they can make me shut up. But in the meantime, I'm not really crazy about. I mean, it's good to keep him around, and honestly, I think it's a good deal. But you have a lot of issues after you got, you know, picked to shreds in free agency. I can't speak to how much this is going to help.
Yeah. At the moment now, Niners currently have just south of $40 million in total cap space, which is now fourth in the NFL. So they still got a lot of moves to make. So I still see this as going to be a down year for the Niners. I think that's pretty safe to say at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I'm not even saying that just to bash on the Niners. I'm just saying, like, as a matter of fact, when you lose this much talent in this short of a time frame, regression is really the only way they're like the only thing that's going to happen. I don't really think there's a happy ending for them, at least this season, unless Brock Purdy can go like full Mahomes, which, hey, I'm not saying he can. I'm just saying that's one of those things where you got to see it to believe it, you know?
Yeah, 100%. So that was the only contract that really got signed or contract extension. Obviously, a bunch of the rookie contracts just got pretty much got over with already, like Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward. Guy in the Giants, Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
Can't believe I was blanking on that. I was thinking of Micah Parsons, but.
Penn State number 11.
It's it's too similar. But yeah, that's kind of the extent of it at this point. And like, not even really wanting to talk about the rookie contracts finally getting signed, because I mean, we're not, I don't think anyone here is Jamarcus Russell or anything like that, but
yeah, well, actually, no. I think it's the Bengals where their first rounder, I think it's Shamar Stewart, is, I won't say holding out, but he hasn't signed anything.
Yeah.
I'll pull it up because I remember seeing this, and look, every so often you get a rookie holdout. You guys may remember that the Bosa brothers both did. And it's like, why are you holding out? I don't care if you're a first-round pick or not. You're a rookie. You have nowhere near as much leverage as you think you do. Oh, here we go. Ready? This is from May 20th, and there's no solution in sight. This was a week ago, but just hear me out, okay, guys? Bengals first-round defensive end Shamar Stewart will remain sidelined as phase two of offseason workouts begins due to disagreement over contract language in his rookie deal.
So they're working out the language part of it.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't understand why. Like, most of the rookie deal is pretty set in stone. So honestly, like, just have it be ready, or just like have it be uniform for all rookies across the league. If you were picked here, you get this. Goodbye, the end.
I mean, that kind of is almost how it is, yeah, to a certain extent, but like,
then why is the language different from team to team?
Yeah, exactly.
You shouldn't be able to disagree. It's like you sign it or you don't play. That's how it ought to be.
Oh yeah, 100%. Other than that, the only other NFL news for today, OTAs just started up in the league. 20 teams opening up OTAs. So 20 clubs open the organized team activities, OTAs portion of the voluntary offseason workout program. Teams like the Falcons, the Ravens, Bills, Browns, Chargers, Rams, Steelers, Titans, teams like that opened up today. Additional five teams will begin tomorrow: the Cardinals, Lions, Texans, Colts, and Commanders. And then the other seven with new head coaches began OTAs last week. So teams like the Saints, the Pats, stuff like that. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the AFC South. Who's going to win the AFC South again? Who's coming in last? A couple new things going on, such as Cam Ward in Tennessee. Is AR going to be able to actually be a quarterback? Let's talk about it when we come back.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. He's CJ. I'm Chris. Let's get into it. AFC South preview. So, both the AFC South and the NFC South, just horrendous. These next two episodes is going to be a lot of shit talking, to say the least, I would say.
Well, no, we got the AFC West next episode, man.
Oh, we have the, for some reason I thought, for some reason I thought we did the NFC East last week. I don't know why.
I get it. But yeah, Let's just keep
next talking. Week should be more fun though, because it's the AFC West then. So, yeah, let's get into the AFC South. Last year, the standings were the Texans, the Colts, Jaguars, Titans. Colts got eliminated from playoff contention, what, week 17, week 18 last year? It was the last 2 weeks.
Something like that, yeah. It was down to the wire.
Texans won the division, ended up the fourth seed, got a playoff win against the Chargers, then eliminated the next round by the Chiefs. Yeah, the Chiefs.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I was blanking on that. But we'll go down the order again, the way that we've done, that we did last time, starting with the Titans, who finished in last place at 3-14. Well, their biggest addition, obviously, Cam Ward, number one overall pick, who, as we just mentioned, just signed his rookie contract. So they got that out of the way. Good job, guys. In terms of the team itself, what has really changed? My first instinct is that this team isn't going to be much better than last season, although you do get a solid receiver in Tyler Lockett during free agency. What was that?
No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, for some reason, I thought I heard a knocking sound coming from your end.
No, my computer made a sound, but that was pretty much it.
Okay. Well, CJ, these Titans, I mean, Cam Ward, obviously, it's going to be his first year. Brian Callahan, the coach for the Titans, right?
Yeah.
I always get like the Seahawks coach and the Titans coach mixed up all the time.
No, I mean, I get it. Well, the thing is, Callahan is just very forgettable as coaches go. He's frankly not that good.
Yeah. So this could be the first season of what could potentially be an interesting tenure for Cam Ward. Because as you mentioned, CJ, if he's not a good head coach and the amount of leash that NFL coaches have at this point, this could easily be the last year of Brian Callahan.
Yeah, and it would only be 2 years. How do you like that?
Exactly.
The thing is, and you know, unless it's like a special scenario, I'm not huge into firing head coaches after their first year. I obviously, there are some exceptions. Like, obviously, this podcast wasn't a thing then, but I remember after Hugh Jackson and the Browns went 1-15, I was like, yeah, nah, that's not good. Mayo with the Pats, like, as a Pats fan, I obviously thought, no, there's no good that can come from keeping him around. Get rid of him.
Like, it's more than poor roster construction. Like, for those teams, it was poor roster construction, right? Like, especially those, the Browns that only won one game in 2 years. Like, it's very, just very poor roster construction. But you also have a head coach that, no disrespect to Hugh Jackson, but he's not really a good head coach. Or you have like Jerod Mayo that you could tell he wasn't a good coach on the field, but outside of the field, like, it was clear as day he needed to go. It was a situation like that.
Yeah. But Callahan's just not that good of a head coach. And for the Titans, I know they have rookie quarterback, and I know they've got it's a good team, but it's not a team lacking in talent. It's a very oddly constructed team. Yeah. It's just a hodgepodge of names. But Brian Callahan is just very underwhelming. Players don't seem to be responding to him. And hey, maybe they make a deep run when the division shut me up, which possibly, but I don't see it. I know a lot of Titans fans online, at least, were calling for Callahan's head at the end of the season. And I myself was kind of bracing for him to get fired, but he never did. And I get it. Me personally, I probably would have fired him. Especially when there were... See, the thing is with head coaches, it's kind of like players. You might want to get rid of a player, but it all depends on who else is available, right? I mean, upgrade where you can, but, you know, you don't get rid of someone, player or coach, without having a backup plan. And last season, in my eyes, was definitely the season to get rid of a bad head coach, because the coaching carousel that year was stacked. You know, Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, Mike Vrabel. I am blanking on some of the others, but. But, you know, but you choose to stick with Brian Callahan, and honestly, I'm not sure about how that's going to go. I mean, the thing is, if Cam Ward struggles his rookie year, especially if it's due to coaching, when a quarterback struggles, you can tell when it's coaching versus when it's the QB's fault. And I'm anticipating that if he does, sure, there's going to be a learning curve, but I think coaching's going to be a lot of it there. And moving on from the Titans, yeah, we can talk them to death. But the Jaguars are a very, very interesting team.
I'm going to stop you real quick. Where do we see the Titans going? We need to wrap. If we're going to wrap the Titans up, where do you see them going?
I don't know. This is just a very weird division. Sorry, I got my flash drive. like I said, very just odd division, but just because they have a rookie quarterback, I think they're going to probably be in last place, but you can probably slap another win or two on there. And Brian Callahan will use it and say, see progress. But anyone with a mind would say, nah, buddy, you need to go get out.
Yeah, no, I'm going to agree with that. I'd say maybe five at best six wins. I don't really see this team. Like, I could see this offense improving, like we said, Tyler Lockett being part of that receiving core now with Calvin Ridley. Tony Pollard had a really good year, so they're probably going to rely on him a lot. So, but it's not going to do a whole lot. Anyways, Jaguars. So continuing with what you were saying.
The Jags picked a good time to get rid of their head coach, and they brought in Liam Cohen. That's big. I liked what he did in Tampa, although admittedly I am a little skeptical, but it's not even just because of that cringy way he says Duval. I do think that he can be good. I don't know what to make of him, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, these first-year coordinators that immediately become head coaches after 1 year is something. But for the Jags, the biggest question mark, of course, and you probably already know this, is Trevor Lawrence. This man is basically Schrodinger's quarterback. Is he good? Is he not? We don't know. He has flashes where he looks like the next big thing. And then the very next game, he just completely falls apart. Also, doesn't help that he's starting to develop a bit of an injury history as well.
Yeah.
And look, we all know, first, last, and always, your best ability is your availability. But his stats mirror Daniel Jones. I'm sure a lot of you have seen this graphic going around where Jones and Lawrence's stats are practically identical, just Lawrence passes the eye test more than Jones does. And hey, there's something to be said for that, but oh my God.
There's some stats where Daniel Jones is better than Trevor Lawrence.
True, many such cases.
Yeah.
Now, but don't get me wrong, there's a lot to consider here. In fact, hold on, I'll try to pull it up. But every fiber of my being wants to call this the put up or shut up year for Trevor Lawrence. But after they signed him to that contract, which, let's be real, I'm not entirely sure he deserves it, then I feel like they're kind of stuck to him for a bit. And as I look at his career stats, now look, if you've been watching the podcast for a bit, then you should know I don't hold his rookie year against him.
No,
not at all. That was an Urban Meyer disaster class. Then he gets banged up in 2023, misses a game. But then 2024, you know, he's in and out of the lineup. You know, he had Mac Jones step in. How do you like that? But to be fair, his best season, right? He starts all 17 games in 2022, has a 66.3% completion percentage. Very good. 4,113 passing yards, 28 touchdowns, 8 picks. That's good. But is it number one overall pick good? No, I'm cool. But that was pretty much it. Yeah, but that, you guys know how I feel about the Pro Bowl. You all watching know that I think it's ridiculous. But honestly, I don't know what to make of him. I don't. The rest of the team is really uninteresting. They're fine. They're not going to be bad as they were last year because, come on, Doug Peterson was out well past his expiration date. But I think it was obviously, you know, Liam Cohen, you know, offensive-minded guy, I definitely think is going to help. But for me, the Jaguars, the only thing I even remotely care about is Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
You know, you traded up to draft him second overall. I can't wait to see him play. Please don't ruin him, Jacksonville. He's the only thing on this team that I'm like, oh, hey, I can't wait to see that. Because other than that, this is kind of a put up or shut up year. And this not because like Lawrence's job is in jeopardy, but because if you don't have a good year, you might just be resigned to the bust label forever.
Yeah. Concur with that. Travis Hunter. So that when the NFL schedule got released, that was kind of the big talking points because obviously the Jaguars are potentially going to use him both ways. At least that's what they say. So of course, everyone's going down the line and of their schedule and seeing what kind of matchups we're looking at here. So look at Carolina week one. Travis Hunter's going to go up against Adam Thielen and Xavier Leggett when he goes on defense. He's going to be covering one of those two guys. And then he's going to have to get locked up or probably deal with J.C. Horn, maybe. Obviously, we have also recognize that Brian Thomas is still on the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the number CB1 isn't always on wide receiver one for every single play. Cincinnati, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. Houston, Derek Stingley Jr.
And Nico Collins.
San Francisco. Brandon Ayuk.
Also, I think they have Chavarius Ward at corner still.
Let me check real quick.
Where did he go to the Colts?
Yeah, he's not on the team anymore.
Okay.
The corners he will be going up against. Diamador Lenore.
Okay, he's underrated. He's underrated. Diamador Lenore.
Renardo Green and Upton Stout.
Okay, Lenore is criminally underrated.
I'm going to pronounce that. Jesus.
It's a Diamador.
Diamador Lenore.
Yeah, his parents shared a sense of humor.
Yeah. Kansas City, Trent McDuffie and Rashee Rice. Seattle, Jackson Smith and Jigba. And it's no corner really notable on the Seattle side.
Devin Witherspoon, Tariq Woolen.
Oh, yeah, right. Don't listen to me. The Rams, Puka Nacua. That's all you really need to say about that. Vegas.
Or Devontae Adams.
I forgot about Devontae. Devontae Adams. Vegas. Houston. Oh, we already went through Houston. Yeah. Chargers.
Ladd McConkey, and they still haven't re-signed Asante Samuel, so that might not be a terrible day for punter.
Yeah. Who are we saying that? What were we saying we were waiting on again? It was
Asante Samuel Jr.
I think, wasn't it like a neck thing?
Yeah, it was.
So McConkey and maybe Asante Samuel Jr., if not, probably Dante Jackson or Cam Hart.
Yeah.
The next team, Arizona, Marvin Harrison Jr., most notable. Tennessee, Calvin Ridley or Tyler Lockett, probably one of those two. And then Xavier Woods is a safety. Never mind. Colts.
They have a Woozy, right? The Bengals. Chidobe Awuzie. Yeah, I think the Titans have him. Yeah.
Oh, Titans. Yeah. Colts.
Michael Pittman. And Travis Ward on the other side.
Yeah, that forgot we were just saying that Ward's now on the Colts. Jets, Sauce Gardner, and
Garrett Wilson.
Denver, Cortland Sutton, and Pat Surtain. Colts, Titans to round out the season. So those are going to be some fun matchups. Anyways, speaking of the Colts, go to the Colts.
Where do we see Jacksonville?
Oh, yeah, finishing Jack. I see them having a better year. I think that Adam Cohen's going to bring some much-needed offensive life into this offense. So definitely more than four wins, but
yeah.
I'm probably going to say still sticking at three, probably around 500. So I'm going to say like nine, maybe eight wins.
Actually, they're going to finish second around nine or eight. I think the Colts are – this is it. Their aggressions are coming for them. Oh, and by the way.
Actually, you know what? I'll hop on that train because I'll hop on that train too. I'll hop on that train because I very much agree with that.
Steichen's on the hot seat too, so
Pat McAfee has gone on a show talking about how dysfunctional the Colts organization is.
Yeah. And by the way, real quick before we go, before we move on, I wanted to bring up, I mentioned Trevor Lawrence and Daniel Jones having eerily similar stats.
Oh, you have them up?
Yeah, let's blaze that real quick. I want to point out, in defense of Trevor Lawrence, Daniel Jones has played 10 more games than Lawrence has. Jones has started 70 games. Lawrence has started 60. Lawrence has a record of 22-38. Jones has a record of 24-44-1. That record will tilt towards Lawrence just because, like I said, his winning percentage is a little better. Doesn't have the actual number in front of me, but still, it's EE still statistically is better there. Jones is a better completion percentage. He's got 64.1% career completion percentage to Lawrence's 63.3. Jones also has more passing yards than he does. He has 14,582. Lawrence has 13,815. So less than a K separating them. It's fine. Jones has one more touchdown, 70 to Lawrence's 69. But Lawrence has one less pick, 46 to Jones's 47. Lawrence is a better passer rating at an 85 to Jones's 84.3. Daniel Jones has more rushing yards. He is 2,179. Lawrence has 1,083. But I'll hold that to Lawrence. He's just not a scrambler like Jones is. So, yeah. But they have almost the same rushing touchdowns. Jones is 15. Lawrence is 14. So, yeah, they're practically the same person, although I would lean Lawrence being a little bit better because Jones also has 10 games on him.
I was just about to say, I feel like you have to throw some of that out the window just because, like, Jones has only played, or Jones played 10 more games. So I feel like you got to throw some of that out the window, unfortunately.
Well, speaking of Daniel Jones, he's on the Colts. Like you said,
there you let's go. Move on to Indy. Yeah, moving on to Indy. So really we just mentioned it. The Colts are on the fast track to sucking again. They finished 8-9 somehow last year, and their season pretty much ended with a week 17 loss to the Giants.
Yeah, week 17 or 18, they were out. Yes.
Yeah. No. What the hell just happened?
So. Anyways, do you want me to start?
Yeah, you can start. I was trying to. Oh, here we go. Yeah, it was a week 17 loss to the Giants. That was a good Joe Flacco game, by the way.
Yeah. But
anyways, like the Colts, you touched on it, CJ. This is a team on the fast track to sucking again. I'm going to hop on the train that you are on in terms of the Jaguars being at 8 wins, 9 wins, 1-2, basically just trade records with the Colts. Cause
yeah.
Like, is Anthony Richardson really going to be all that now after you're like, I'm going to stay with the take. Anthony Richardson should not be quarterback in the league. Like he just shouldn't be. And the longer that they keep on this project, the longer this turnaround is going to be.
The thing with Anthony Richardson is that he has all the tools necessary to get it done. But, oh my God, it's been so frustrating. And look, let's go back to the 2022 draft. You all who've been watching for that long know I was never a fan of Anthony Richardson. I said I liked him in like maybe the second or third round as a project guy, but I said he should not have gone first round, let alone top 10. And they forced him to start right away. And some people will say, oh, but he wins games. He has a career QB record of 8-7. By the way, I'll break that down a second. But the thing is, the Colts usually have a solid defense. And it's not like Richardson's hurting for weapons. He has Michael Pittman. He's got Jonathan Taylor. The Colts just drafted Brock Bowers. I mean, not Brock. Whoa, my God. I'm getting my really great college science confused. They just drafted the kid from Penn State, Tyler Warren. And a lot of these games, they're not winning because of Richardson. They're winning despite him. And a lot of people like to drool over his rushing ability. because he has 10 rushing touchdowns and 635 yards across his two seasons, and that's good. But the and you know, because he's a bigger QB, right? He's got that Cam Newton build, 6'4", 240, where he can just bully around smaller defensive backs, you know, just run them over like they really can't bring them down by themselves, right?
Yeah.
However, my issue is that you have no business being a scrambling quarterback if you're injury prone. Over the past two seasons, like I said, he's played in 15 games, has a record of 8-7. There are 17 games in a season, seventeen games. So you times that by two, that's, I believe, 34. You have played 15 out of a possible 34 games. That's awful. And another issue I have with him is his completion percentage. Last season, starting 11 games and has a 47.7% completion percentage, his career is 50.6. And it's weird because this guy can thread the needle deep. He's got on, he has one of, if not the best arm in the NFL on pure arm strength alone, right? And he's actually really accurate throwing the ball deep. But the thing is, screen passes, quick outs, fade or short fades, slant routes, I don't know what it is. Like, he can throw the ball effortlessly on the dot 50 yards downfield, but if you want him to take a 5-yard check down, it's like always a gross overthrow.
Yeah.
Like, cannot hit his short passes, which is weird because usually for QBs it's the other way around. But and as far as passing goes, he's accrued a 2,391 passing yards, 11 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Like, there's he has shown nothing that makes me believe he's capable of being a starting quarterback in the NFL. And worse yet, they brought in Daniel Jones to be his QB competition. That might be the worst QB room, not in terms of talent, but in terms of fireworks. Because the worst QB room you could probably say is Pittsburgh, right? Where it's Will Howard, the rookie from Ohio State. Mason Rudolph and I think Skylar Thompson. And while talent-wise it's worse, there are garbage-esque fireworks going on over the Colts QB room. Just two guys that are, they're spectacularly bad. And honestly, the rest of the team is like, I don't hate the rest of the team, but I don't like their head coach. For me, that's really my issue.
Yeah.
I am not a fan of Shane Steichen. He apparently has that Mike McDaniel problem, because you may remember the Dolphins players like apparently routinely disregard him. They show up late and like nothing happens. That's happening to Indy too. And like you said, Chris, Pat McAfee, sports talking head and well-known Colts fan and former Colts punter.
Like, he's not even a Colts fan. He's like, his only ties is him playing for the Colts. He's actually was a Steelers fan.
He was, but, you know, I'm just saying. It's really more like he's getting so frustrated with his former team. And it's not just that. Their GM, Ballard, I believe, is also on the hot seat as well, you know, for drafting Richardson. So barring a quick turnaround where they at least go to the playoffs, I think Steichen's on his way out. And truth be told, if the Colts start out of the gate sluggish, like let's just say 6 or 7 weeks pass and they only have one or two wins, I can see Steichen getting Cam before the season's over.
Yeah, which also, since we're talking about the Colts, rest in peace, Jim Irsay.
Yeah.
Died, what was it, Saturday, Friday?
Something like that, 65?
Sometime last week. Yeah, it was pretty sudden death at 65. You know, it's a guy that lived quite the dream, to say the least.
Yeah. Yeah.
Took over the Colts for his dad and, you know, did what I think that a lot of, I think what I would do as a billionaire, just minus like a DUI, but.
And the copious drugs that he used.
Yeah.
The copious amounts of drugs he used.
But it was also a guy that he just lived a very, what's the term? Extravagant life, to say the least, was very much known for his collectibles of amazing guitarists and just musicians in general. And it was not afraid to give back to the community when need be. But to wrap up the Colts, third place, Shane Steichen gets fired. Chris Ballard gets fired. I'm going to say 7 wins max, and Anthony Richardson gets benched at some point, and Riley Leonard, their third string quarterback, rookie from Notre Dame, gets some reps.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. All right, to the Texans, the AFC South winner from last year. One of their more notable losses, Stephon Diggs. Can also throw in Tank Dell at that point, too, because, well, Tank Dell's out for the season. Won't see him until 2026. Pretty unfortunate loss, to say the least. Other than that, still got Joe Mixon. You added Christian Kirk. Going to get another year out of Dalton Schultz, of course, which, actually, speaking of Tank Dell, I'm kind of surprised that he's not in, like, the IR. He's currently listed as questionable, which is kind of odd because of how severe his injury was. Yeah.
I watched it live. I was, I wasn't live there. I saw it live on TV. I was,
yeah.
I feel so bad for the guy.
Same. Great player, too, but still got a solid defense. Will Anderson, you brought in CJ Gardner-Johnson, Derek Stingley Jr., who we'll most likely talk about later when we do the top five cornerbacks. Spoiler alert, Derek Stingley is going to be talked about. But other than that, I see the Texans finishing in first place again, probably at another 10-7 record. I just don't know if this offense, like, the big question is going to be the offense, right? Because it was so slow, so sluggish last year. They fire their offensive coordinator. Who's the Texans OC now?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Nick Cayley. Hired to replace Bobby Slowick. Previously spent time as the Rams pass game coordinator and tight ends coach. So this is going to be interesting, to say the least. This is going to be a lot of eyes are going to be on this offense this year. Third year for CJ Stroud. Is he going to be able to make that extra step? Basically, are we going to see rookie CJ Stroud again?
Yeah. Honestly, I think we will. Yeah. I don't know what happened last year. You know, sophomore slumps happen. There's going to be some growing pains. Teams adjust. But I definitely think Bobby Slowick, especially, like, looking back, now that we have a full picture, Bobby Slowick was definitely punching above his weight. And that's great, but when you're in over your head for that long, then it's going to come crashing down. I think that's exactly what happened. I think D'Amico Ryans is a good head coach. I really do. I think that with Kaylee, you know, from the Rams, who coordinates that passing game, I mean, now you get C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, Christian Kirk, Dalton Schultz, Joe Mixon. Like, dude, let it fly. The only thing that concerns me for the Texans is the offensive line. Like, I even think the defense is good, but, oh, my God, that offensive line is going to get Stroud killed. And it gets bad. You know, it's bad. So what do you do when your offensive line's bad? Oh, yeah, trade Laremy Tunsil. Like, I know that was really more like a salary dump, but still, like, I just can't say I agree with that one.
So a little bit more about Nick Cayley, just kind of doing some more research. According to Texans Wire, came out a couple hours ago today or earlier this morning, ESPN names Texans' new OC Nick Cayley a top 10 name to watch in 2025. Entering 2025, the Texans could be one of the biggest surprises when it comes to offensive success, and they're hoping to. Where the Texans changing over a new leaf, of course, hiring Nick Cayley. Looking for more consistent passing attack out of the backfield, especially with C.J. Stroud. This is his third year. Another thing, of course, is that new contract's going to be on the way. Brings in a blend of coaching between New England and L.A. as we mentioned, being a passing game coordinator for the Rams. According to Ben Solik for ESPN, I'm always hesitant about later branches plucked off coaching trees. The first few Sean McVay assistants probably have the goods, but the fourth, fifth, and sixth options were probably in the back of the line for a reason. But Kaley, who spent the past 2 years in the McVay incubator, was a longtime offensive coach for the Patriots before joining the Rams, so he isn't really a continuing chip off the block. That's kind of weird how I'm just going to say chip off the block once. No offense was held back more by coaching errors last season than Houston's unit. If Kaley is even league average as a year one play caller, expect the Titans to finally deliver on their 2024 preseason hype. Biggest losses for the Texans, Laremy Tunsil, Stephon Diggs, as we mentioned, Tank Dell. That's your Texans roundup. You want to respond to the quote that I threw out there?
No, I guess just that I like Kaley as a pass game coordinator, but, you know, for the Rams. But I will keep saying a lot of this, actually all of this, is on CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
Like, it's his time. He's just got to seize the moment. You know, like, that's it. That is the long and short of it. It's simple, but it's true.
Yeah. Now they've got the goods around him. What is he going to do with it?
All right. I'm going to be really sad, though, if it turns out he's like one of those teases, you know, just like a one-year wonder who does nothing. Like, no, I had such high hopes for coming out of the draft, and I don't think that's going to happen, but I definitely think the Texans are going to repeat as champions at bare minimum.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. He's a fun quarterback to watch. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into our player rankings this week. Cornerbacks. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Gostich, powered by Pirate 18 Radio, Secret Weapon Consulting. Player rankings. Top 5 quarterbacks. If you've listened the last 2 weeks, you know how this rolls. We're going to start with you, CJ.
Okay. Well, for those of you who don't know, I'm going to list my top 5. Chris going to list his, and then we discuss, because you can't always assume people have watched. So my number 5, this might shock some people because I know everybody always has him consistently top 3. But falling out of the top 3 all the way to number 5 is from the New York Jets, Sauce Gardner. Because I do think it's going to be an anomaly, but he did have a down year. Career low in passes defended, career low in tackles. He finally got a pick, which is good for him. But, yeah. But don't get me wrong, he's still good. Even though, to be fair, he does draw his fair share of flags now that refs seem to actually start calling holding. But I will give him credit where it's due. He can still absolutely erase players. Only gave up 1 touchdown and basically a 57% completion percentage. I can't hate that. He wasn't as flashy as he was, but he's still good. You know, I will give him that. He's still very good. So moving on to my number 4 from the Baltimore Ravens, it's Marlon Humphrey. So let's start off. Career high in interceptions with 6. 6 interceptions, including one of them being a pick 6. 67 combined tackles as well. 15 passes defended. That's great. The only thing that keeps him from being higher was that he gave up quite a few yards, at least. Yeah, 556, which is actually fine, but 3 touchdowns. But here's my issue. A 60.4% completion percentage, and that many tackles shows me that, you know, guy gets the catch on him, but he brings him down. But to be fair, he was a first-team All-Pro as named by the AP and a Pro Bowler. But, you know, like the amount of times he was targeted doesn't really put me at ease. Now, number 3, give me from the New England Patriots, Christian Gonzalez. Now, he had 59 combined tackles. Doesn't sound a lot, but he is a pure tackling guy. He, by the way, 50 of those were solo. 11 passes defended, 2 interceptions, a fumble recovery, which I believe he took back for a touchdown. But here's what I like. Gave up a passer rating of 71% and a completion percentage given up of 55.7. And keep in mind, right, he was targeted a lot at the beginning of the year. Then at the end, they would not throw his way because he was targeted 88 times. And he only gave up 49 passes. He gave up 2 touchdowns, although to be fair, I distinctly remember that one against the Texans really wasn't his fault. It was blown coverage. I think Kyle Duggar should have had him, and Gonzalez ended up having to backtrack, unfortunately. But regardless, another thing that I like about that was, as far as Gonzalez goes, is that he has a missed tackle rating of 4.8. He's not flashy. He doesn't have a big personality, but he is one of, if not the best, pure man-to-man corner in the entire league. His zone, I think, needs improvement, but just man-to-man, I don't think there's really anyone that does it better. So moving on to my number 2, Derek Stingley Jr., second straight year with 5 interceptions, 54 tackles, 18 passes broken up. The numbers say it all. And he gave up a 47.1% completion percentage. That's huge. That's great. First team all pro. My only issue is that he did give up 4 touchdowns, which I think is the most anybody in my top 5 gave up. And he was, I mean, I thought about putting him number 1, but A, 4 touchdowns, no. But B, this is the big one. My number 1 is reigning defensive player of the year, Patrick Surtain II from Denver. I'm sorry, you gotta give it to him, right? He literally is the defensive player of the year, or reigning at least. Had 4 picks, 45 tackles, 11 passes broken up, Pro Bowl, first team All-Pro, defensive player of the year. A forced fumble and a fumble recovery to boot. But get this, allowed a passer rating of 58.9. This man was locking players up left and right. Only gave up 38 completions on the year as well. And only 326 yards, which I believe was the fewest among anyone in my top 5, unless someone gave up 200, which I don't believe. So overall, Patrick Surtain, reigning defense player of the year, best corner, no doubt, well-deserved.
Nice. Good job. I like it. I'm going to have to agree with a lot of those. CJ and I have very similar names besides like a couple. I will say Sauce Gardner, not on my list. I had that easily. I just don't think he's that good anymore. Not saying he isn't good. I just don't think he's top 5 good anymore. Marlon Humphrey, another guy. Would be more enticed to switch Trent McDuffie, who is at my number 4, but starting out, Derek Stingley Jr. is going to be at my number 5. Very, very good corner. Basically all the same reasons that CJ laid out. There was just a couple times where I feel like that, like, I think he does have the makings to be a top 2 corner as you have him as CJ. But at least like from last year, I think that there's still a lot of things he needs to work on. Mm-hmm. So that's why I have him back to 5th. But I can very much see him being a top 2 guy. Trent McDuffie. So if I were to put Marlon Humphrey into the top 5, I'd probably switch him with Trent McDuffie. But I just give him that little edge. He's got.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why. And McDuffie, when I was creating this, was going to be in my top 5. But the Super Bowl, that abysmal Super Bowl performance where Jalen Hurts was targeting him, he was picked on there. He couldn't cover AJ Brown. He couldn't cover Devontae Smith. Like, these top 5 players, they show up when the lights are brightest, and he just didn't.
Yeah. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, though, that this is probably one of the rare occasions that he got lit up, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think it's enough to, you know, obviously it's the Super Bowl. You need to show up. But I don't think it's enough for me to take him out of the top five yet.
All right.
Number three, Jair Alexander. Jair Alexander has been consistently one of the best corners in the league. And I feel like he doesn't get talked about enough. You know, this is a guy that consistently straps up Justin Jefferson. Like one of the only guys that can actually do that.
I will say one thing. The reason he was in my top five is his stats were great, but he only played seven games. And like I said, your best ability is your availability. And the reason he doesn't get talked about enough is because he's always hurt. You know, there are some trade rumors surrounding him now too. And you have to realize if you trade for him, at most you're getting 10 games. And that's if you're lucky. Like, you're probably getting closer to 7 or 6. He hasn't played over half a season in like 3 years, because this season and last season he only played 7 games.
Yeah. No, I think you're right about that. I would not disagree with that at all. It is tough to have, like, try to argue that this guy is a top five guy when he's only played in 7 games. I agree with that. The last time he's played a full season was 2022, and the last 4 seasons, three of those he didn't make it into double-digit games. I'm predicting a bit of a switch here. I say that he gets into that double-digit. I say he plays at the minimum, 14 or 15 games.
Well, I'm sure Packers fans everywhere hope you're right.
Yeah, exactly. Number two for me, Christian Gonzalez. I think when you look at last year, although to the same points that CJ made, obviously some things to work on still. But when you look at the statistics, it really was that close. I feel like it was really that close between Pat Surtain and Christian Gonzalez. But the numbers that Pat Surtain are putting up, obviously, I'll get to that in a moment, are insane. But there was a point where Christian Gonzalez was running right up there with him. So I see him being a top two corner this next season. I see him taking that extra step. Now, he's also got to stay healthy, of course, too. But did Gonzalez miss any games?
No, I don't believe he did. Maybe like one at most, but
yeah. Anyways. And then number one for me, Pat Surtain. Easily defensive player of the year last year. Pat Surtain is putting up prime Champ Bailey numbers.
Yeah.
Prime Champ Bailey numbers, which is insane. Like, prime Champ Bailey is like a top five cornerback of all time, top three cornerback of all time. His numbers are out of this world. Fitting that they're on both guys being on the Broncos, or Champ Bailey being on the Broncos for his prime. Pat Surtain, we're going to call this his prime. He's on the Broncos for his prime.
Yeah.
But that is my top five. Going into that, or that is our top five going into the 2025 season.
Yeah, the only reason I didn't have Gonzalez at number two, as much as I really thought about it, was just because if you really stop and think, last season was his rookie year, because I think he only played 3 or 4 games his original rookie year. So one of those things where I can't go off a one-year wonder. I need to see a little bit more. But what we saw was insane. Easily top five.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're predicting where everyone's going to go in 2025. This is merely a top five prediction going into the season.
Yeah. So, but either way, I still feel confident about him being a top three corner.
Oh yeah. 100% easily. As long as he doesn't have a weird injury like his rookie year, then I think Pats fans are, like ourselves, are going to be very happy with some of the defensive play. But that is it for today's episode of the Fumble Rooski Podcast. CJ, anything else that is on your mind before we sign off?
No, nothing really. I'm standing by my list is all.
Yeah, exactly. No, I like it. I like it. The only other thing that really came out in the last week was, of course, the Tush Push not being banned. 22-10 vote, which you need a majority of, what was it, 24?
Yeah, you need the 3/4 majority.
Yeah. So, and they also released the teams that voted as well, which are voted which way, which I thought was very funny.
I texted this and because we have a Fumble Rooski group chat to plan out episodes. And when I believe it was Chris brought up, oh, hey, it's not getting banned. I said, well, good. I'm like, I still want to know who voted which way. Like, you can't get to vote and you can't be anonymous in voting and anonymity there. Like, you cannot, you don't get to do that and face like zero media pushback.
Yeah, 100%. And of course, the 22-10 vote being the same score that the Eagles beat the Packers in the NFC wildcard round. And the Packers, of course, being the team that put this rule request in. So karma comes in a lot of different forms.
Yep.
But that'll do it for us today. Thank you for tuning in for another Tuesday episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast. CJ, what are we going to be talking about next week? We got, you mentioned the AFC West, and we're going to be doing defensive linemen. AFC West breakdown and top 5 edge rushers.
Yes.
So be sure to tune in next Tuesday at 7:30 for that. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast. Keep up with the pod and latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, he's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. We'll see you next Tuesday. Over and out.